My joy to welcome all of you to the 2019 commencement program for all of these seniors. A lot of years of work, as you all know, and I want to thank you for coming. It is a great day in their lives, a great day of encouragement for them and their families. So we'll have a word of prayer and get started tonight, and I do thank you again for coming. Father, tonight we give these young people over to the next chapter of their life, to you. And I pray that you'd make this night one of great memories, sweet memories. Father, that each one of them would take all the training and preparation that you've given to them, both by their parents, by all the faculty. And Father, I pray that you would help them to use it for your glory. I pray that you would allow all to go well tonight. You'd bless each one of the young people as they have a part in the program. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored with all we do. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
You can join us in standing. We're going to be singing on the back of your pamphlet, the Student's Prayer, our school hymn. Search for truth and knowledge, all our thoughts and ways direct. Help us fill the towers of learning that would make us wise, astute. On the rock of Holy Scripture, truth revealed and absolute. Oh, how vast the shores of learning! There are still uncharted seas, and they call to bold adventure those who turn from sloth and ease. But we need thy hand to guide us in the studies we pursue, and the presence of thy Spirit to illumine all. Till in foolish self-reliance we would wander from thy side. Let them only bind us closer, Lord, to thee in whom we find every fountainhead of wisdom, light and life to all mankind.
Dr. Dalton, Dr. Pittman, esteemed members of the faculty, honorable guests, parents, and friends. Welcome to our graduation ceremony for the class of 2019. I'd like to thank you all for being here and being a part of this special occasion. Thank you for honoring us with your presence as we take a big step into the future and bid our goodbyes. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the school for awarding me with such an honor and giving me this opportunity to be able to stand here and thank several people who have helped me through so much. Before I attended Temple, I was taught in a secular environment up until ninth grade. I didn't know that education and God could go hand in hand, and due to that, I always kept school and church separate. But Pastor Pittman, Dr. Dalton, together you've built an environment that has shown me that my education and spiritual walk can and should go together. I'd like to thank the church and the youth group for giving me a solid foundation in my spiritual walk with God. I'd like to thank all the youth workers, Brother Scott and Miss Christina, for always praying for me and my family in encouraging me through every trial. I'd like to thank each and every one of my teachers. They are the weirdest people I've ever met. But they also show how much they care for every student here. Thank you for giving us a strong foundation before we go off to college. Thank you for all the laughs and tears in each class. Thank you for pushing us to always do better and encouraging us every step of the way. To all my friends here, each and every one of you have made an impact on my life and have made my time here memorable. I ask that each of you continue to pray for us as we move on to the next step. Thank you for showing me the value of friendship. And as for my future plans, I will be majoring in mechanical engineering, and God willing, later, I will pursue a master's in aerospace engineering. I have also been blessed with the opportunity to study at Virginia Tech for the remainder of my education. I've always been interested in math and science, although I'm not the best at it. Mr. G and Mrs. Mon can back me up on that. Lastly, and most importantly, I'd like to thank my parents for sacrificing so much for my education. In 2014, both of you made a big decision to leave our home back in Kuwait, and it wasn't easy for any of us, but I can proudly stand here and say that it was definitely worth it. Mom, Dad, I don't say it a lot to either of you, but I love you. Thank you for letting me study here in America. And to my fellow graduating seniors, I hope we go on to continue making our families proud and abiding in God's will. I hope we look back at our time here and remember all these people that have shaped us into who we are today and who we might be in the future.
Faithfulness and longevity in some ways are priceless, and we're very thankful for students that have come to our school early on and have remained with us. It's been such a joy to have that consistency from year to year, and they add such a faithfulness to the student body and a stability that others can depend on. The first student I would like to present this award to started in K-4, and it is my own daughter, Lydia Gustafson. The second student that I would like to honor with this longevity award began in K-3, and it is amazing. I've been here for quite a few years. When the school was different than it is now, we added on buildings, and we used to have dismissal up here in the old auditorium, and I just remember, as far back as I can remember, I remember seeing their family, and it has blessed me. I remember even Rory's sister, little Allie, coming in with her hair all big, and it's just, we're so thankful for your family, and we're thankful that you were able to have your education here with us, and that we had the privilege of teaching you.
The Christian Character Award is our highest award, and this year it's going to Lydia Gustafson. We sort of let Mr. Gustafson out of this one, and so that's why he's surprised. According to the faculty, and I've got a lot of comments here, she's reached out to so many others in a positive way, written lots of notes of encouragement to younger students. She's kind, compassionate, respectful. She's the quiet encourager, the one that doesn't get the recognition for quiet encouragement, but tonight's the night. Great spirit, faithful to church. So our Christian Character Award goes to Lydia Gustafson.
Good evening, I'm Rory Grote. I've had the opportunity of attending Temple Baptist School since K-3. This has given me the chance to see my class grow along with me. It's amazing that we're graduating today. It's amazing that in a few short months, me and these other graduates will be independent, whether at college or wherever we're working. And I believe we are ready. This school has given us an amazing education, where we can learn about the truth in an environment that pushed us to stand up for what is true and right. I'd like to thank Pastor Pittman and Dr. Dahlin and all the teachers for making this school possible. With all the time you put into each of us, students, I believe we will be different from the world and be able to stand up for our faith. I'd also like to thank my parents, and I'm sure each graduate would say the same, as each of you has given up so much for us to go to this school. I'd like to thank my parents as they have made me be independent and ready to go headstrong into this world. Your constant example of leadership in a world that despises what is right has made me want to be a leader, a light in this dark world. Thank you so much for all you've done. There's no way I could thank you for all you've done for me. But a question I ask my fellow graduates is, what will you do with this education? Nearly 70% of high schoolers leave the church after they graduate, and only half of that group will return a decade later. I don't want to see our class as just another proof of this, another statistic. I feel like the reason so many leave is because they lose track of why they're going to college. They lose their purpose of life. Money becomes the new motivating factor. A house, car, job, bills, and family become everything, and their purpose is gone. Then the bad stuff happens, like losing a job, divorce, bankruptcy, and they lose hope because they lost their purpose. God created you to glorify Him, and that can be done with the stuff He gives us, but you can't let that stuff become what you live for. What's your goals for college? What's your goals for life? Don't forget your first love. Don't forget who got you into that college, gave you that brain for that major, that skill for that job. Use all of these for God. Create a goal and strive for it. So many people have invested so much into you, and it's our time to show what we got. So go out there and be the best leader you can be for Christ. Let's change this world and show them the truth.
Let's now pray for our graduates. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us and that you love us, you died for us, and you gave your Son to pay for our sin. And I thank you for this school. I thank you that the graduates here have been able to attend these classes and learn information that isn't just information, it's your knowledge and your wisdom. Ask that you would take these graduates, Lord, and you would bless them, have your hand of protection on them. Ask that you would protect them from the world, that you would protect them from Satan and others. Ask that you would help them to follow you and seek you and desire you more than anything else. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, and we thank you for this great opportunity to be able to hit this milestone in their lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
After that speech by Rory, well, maybe you'll have him speak next year. That was pretty good. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Lee Atkinson. I've known him a long time, and we actually went to school together in some ways. I was his principal. He's a graduate of Practical Theology at Pensacola Christian College. He has a Bachelor of Science in Biology Education from Pensacola. He's got a Master of Science in Secondary Science Education from Purdue. He's got a Doctorate of Educational Administration from Pensacola Christian College. And he's instrumental in the founding of Plum Creek Christian Academy in Dyer, Indiana. I tried to get him to come here, but he wanted to work for his dad. And so he was the co-pastor of Dyer Baptist in 2015, where he later assumed the role of senior pastor. And he serves there in Dyer, Indiana, as the pastor with his wife and four kids. And in the summertime, he teaches a grad school class on school administration. And he was actually scheduled to be at his school tonight, but he's graciously consented to come to ours. And it's a real pleasure for me and a thrill to have him here. Dr. Lee.
So much. Thank you so very much. It is special to be here tonight in so very many ways. Please do not ask Dr. Dalton any questions about me. If you will agree to do that, we can all just leave happy and remembering things nicely. Dr. Dalton did some very brave things as principal of our Christian school. And it was a time in my life when I was very moldable and I had options to go one way or the other. And in large part due to his influence at that Christian school, I'm thankful that God led me down a good path, and I'm so thankful for his ministry and the privilege to be here, to see many old friends again, and be able to address these graduates. Y'all ready for this? Ready or not, here it comes. We're excited for you. The title of the message this evening is How to Live Well. Would you like to live well? It's simple. It really is. I like simple things. I don't know about you. Maybe to a fault. I remember one time I was still, how can I say this tactfully, spouse hunting. I had spent some time with a young lady by the name of Bethany Chase, and I was still chasing her. And I went out to visit her where her family lived in Colorado, and they thought it would be a good idea to go out for ice cream at Dairy Queen. And I thought that was a good idea, too. And when I ordered, they looked at me like I had three eyes and I would never last in the family, because we went to Dairy Queen and all I ordered was a small vanilla cone. They said, you can get one of those things that you turn upside down. You can get, a sundae. You can get all these toppings. And I just wanted my vanilla cone. I like simple things. I don't think I need M&Ms and gummy bears and avocado on my ice cream sundae. It's just not appealing to me. Just give it simple. But, you know, sometimes people say things are simple and they're really not. You're like, oh, you can learn Mandarin. It's simple. Or you can pass Dr. Dalton's apologetics class. It's simple. Step one, know everything. Step two, ace all tests. It's really not that hard. Well, this evening's message won't be quite that simple, but I hope it will be more helpful than some of that advice. Our simple instruction comes tonight from God's Word, and I'll be reading tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 10. This was sort of a different commencement address. Moses was there on the eastern side of Jordan with the children of Israel just before they were about to cross into the Promised Land. He was going to pass off the scene. He was going to graduate and go to be with the Lord. And the people were going to graduate and go to the Promised Land. And he's pouring out his heart and his life and his wisdom to them. And under the Lord's inspiration, these were some of his words. After he reminded them of what had happened with the golden calf, and the problems and the things that had gone wrong, he's trying to tell them, this is how you can have a good life. This is how you can live life well. And his instruction, his advice is timeless. And it's just as true for you today, graduates, if you will heed these simple words from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. He says, you can have a good life. This is for your good. I want you to live well when I'm gone and you are independent and you're on your own, whether it's at a job or a university or whether it's your own family, you can live well if you'll simply follow the instructions that he's given here. Now, to try to help us keep our brains wrapped around it, I've simplified the list a little bit, but I trust I'm true to the intent that God has given us here. Number one thing that Moses told these people to do was to fear God. To fear God. And that is appropriately listed first, because without that, nothing else really matters. You know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've heard that. You've been taught that. You wouldn't be walking out of these halls with a cap on your head if you hadn't already been instructed in this truth. But when you get out there, you're going to be exposed to a lot of people who don't believe that. They're going to think that the fear of the Lord has nothing to do with knowledge. And if you want to be religious, keep that in a nice little compartment on Sunday morning for about an hour or two, and then the rest of your time, live your life. That's wrong. You must fear the Lord, and he must infuse all of your life. He must be the center and the captain of everything you do. You must reverence our God. Remember how great he is. It's become, unfortunately, in our culture, kind of funny to be flippant. If you want to get the laugh, if you want to amuse people, all you have to do is say something shocking or inappropriate. Be flippant, whether it's about God or something that's dirty, and you'll be perceived as cool and everyone will like you. That's the world's wisdom, not God's wisdom. It's always best to fear the Lord. And the wonderful thing, students, if you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anyone else. And when that professor at the university says, you believe what? You think God made the world in how many days? You can say, that's right. and you can have courage. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 that we shouldn't fear those who can kill the body, and that's all. We should fear him rather who can destroy body and soul in hell, and that, of course, is God. When you truly reverence, respect, and live in the light of God's eye, you don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone. Whatever comes your way, God is more than able to carry you through. Fear God, Moses said to the Israelites before they entered the promised land. Secondly, Moses said to these people, walk in his ways. As I consider that phrase, walk in his ways, I think it has at least two emphases we could consider. Walking in his way means the direction in which we walk, the pathway. Walk in that way as opposed to the other way. But I think it also carries the idea of walking in the manner, the way that he would walk. Graduates, I hope that as you enter this next exciting stage of your life, that you will, first of all, walk in the direction God wants you to walk. And that you'll live in the way, in the manner, in the lifestyle, in the attitude and personality that he would want you to live with. Don't live in your own way. As I think about that manner part, living as God would live, I was convicted about something in my own life. This actually happened last night. And I know that probably Chicagoland traffic is nothing compared to Washington, D.C. traffic. But it's not pretty either. And we were on our way to a family's home for dinner. They'd invited us over. It was very gracious of them. We were, of course, running late, and traffic was, of course, exceptionally bad. And some other drivers did some things they should not have done. They were clearly in the wrong. And they pulled around me and cut in front. I had been politely, because I'm a very good driver, wait, you don't even know me, and you're laughing at me. I'm hurt. But they had cut in front of me. And there was this part of me that says, justice must be done. They need to know that they are wrong. And that's why I have this button on the steering wheel. And I laid on the horn. And then another car did the same thing. And once again, I decided to inform them of their wrongness. And it was, I don't think it was my wife, I think it was my children saying, Dad, stop. What if somebody around recognizes us? Implied, and you're acting like that. Dad, we're so embarrassed. And I'm about to teach my oldest how to drive. This is also a problem. But as I reflected upon that, would God have acted in traffic the way I acted last night? And I don't think he would have. Moses said to the children of Israel, walk in his ways. Walk the way he would walk. That means you need to be kind. The culture doesn't place a premium on kindness, but God still does. It's never out of style to be kind. Be honest. Don't budge on your principles. Be content. Accept what God has given you and don't covet and lust after more and more. You'll never be satisfied that way. Walk in the way that he would have you to walk. Not in your own way. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because you think it's a good idea doesn't mean it is. Ask God. Ask your counselors. Yield your choices to God. You've made a lot of important choices already, but there's more coming. Are you going to yield those choices to God? Or are you simply going to lay out a path for you that seems best in accomplishing some kind of self-centered goal? Yield that choice to God. Let him be in charge. And don't be afraid of course correction. Sometimes people make a wrong mistake. They make a wrong decision, and they realize it, but they're so proud. They're so stubborn that they're unwilling to say, I was wrong, I need to do this instead. Don't compound your mistake with stubbornly pursuing your wrong decision. Yield that choice to God. Remember that your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. And whatever God says to do, you better do it. Yield your life to him. Walk in his way. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. May I say briefly this evening, that way that we should walk in is a narrow way. It's not that you should go out of here seeking to do what is popular. You should seek to do what is right. You should not seek to do what is easy. You should seek to do what is best. You should not seek to do what you feel like, what appeals to you at the moment. You should seek to do what is important in life. That narrow way is not followed by many, and it's a lot like the way of salvation. Most of you here tonight, I don't know, but I wouldn't want to leave you this evening without reminding you that there is a way that seems right unto man that ends in destruction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that there is a narrow way that leads to life. There's a straight or a tight gate that leads to life. And if you're here this evening to be polite to a relative who's graduating, or maybe you've been involved at Temple Baptist for a long time, but you're not really serious about it in your heart, can I remind you that there is something coming after you die? We will all give account of ourselves before God. And the only way any of us are going to be found innocent, pure, or righteous is if we've clothed ourselves in Jesus Christ's righteousness. Jesus is the one and only Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He was the God-man, and he died for your sins. He died for you on a cruel cross so that you could be forgiven. You see, all of us know in our own hearts that we're sinners. There's things that instinctively we know we should not do, and other things we know we should do. And guess what? We do the opposite, and our conscience condemns us. That's called sin. And we're all guilty before our Maker who wrote that law on our hearts. And if you've never come to grips with your guilt, if you've never had your sin washed clean, can I tell you tonight would be a great night to do that. Amen. Dr. Pittman would love to talk to you all night if necessary to explain from God's Word how you can be on the narrow way, the forgiven way, the right way, the way that gives you purpose in life, the way that gives you forgiveness after death. It's a narrow way, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're just like most people around you, you're probably not on the right path. Graduates, if you want to live a productive and satisfying life, it'll be a narrow way that you walk, just like it was a narrow road that led you to Christ. The third thing in the list from Moses, it's been a while since we read it, so let me read the text again. It's just so powerful. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Students, love God. Love him with all your heart and soul. It's got to be personal. It's got to be you. Your teachers aren't going to hold your hands anymore. Neither are your parents. And if you've just been kind of floating through or down this Christian stream and not really serious about it yourself, that needs to change. I don't know if any of you have this same hobby or enjoyment. I like to go canoeing myself. How many of you like to canoe? You need to make sure you're awake. Raise your hand if you like to canoe or kayak or whitewater raft. I think they have some good places around here, don't they? Yeah, I like to go canoeing. Now that I'm a dad, I've gone canoeing with my family. We do have four children. Girl, boy. That's what we saw and ordered from the catalog, just like that. It was really nice. Well, the first time we went canoeing, they were young enough that we could go three in a canoe. So I was driving one canoe, my wife was driving the other canoe, and we had two kids in each. It was great. Well, I didn't think about this, but by the next time we went canoeing, they were older. So we had to get three canoes. And so we had to put one canoe with no adult. That was an adventure. So I put my oldest two in that canoe, and it was just like watching pinball, really. They just kind of went from one bank of the river to the other, back and forth and back and forth. And they were getting frustrated with each other. And I couldn't help because I was downstream with my youngest. And at one point, I could tell they weren't getting along well. because my son stepped out of the canoe and started walking down the river. That's when we knew that we needed to have a discipleship moment. I love my kids. They're great. But sometimes you're canoeing, and you ever been in the front of the canoe, and you're paddling along, stroke, 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 and you're like, boy, I'm working hard, and we're not going very far. What's the deal? And you don't want to outright accuse anybody, but you kind of have some suspicions about the person that's directly behind you. And finally, you just kind of look and say, are you paddling back there, or is this all me? It's no fun when you're the only one paddling. It doesn't work well in canoeing. And students, if you've just been drifting, if you've been sitting in the canoe, you're not a rebel outwardly. You're not, going to plan to get involved in some kind of terrible behavior. But you've just been kind of drifting because you're in a Christian school, you're in church, you're in a Christian family, and you're just kind of floating. And you better start paddling. You need to love him with all of your heart. You need to cultivate your relationship with him. Not bank on someone else's relationship with him. Not trust that, well, the pastor will give me everything I need on Sunday. You need to have your own walk with God. Paddle that canoe. Love him and serve him with all of your heart and with all your soul. Spend time with him. Give things to him. And do things for him. I mean, that's how you develop a love life, isn't it? If you want to have a close relationship with your parents, you spend time together. You give each other things. And you do things for each other. And if you want to have a close relationship with God, you need to do the same. And when God gives you something to do and you really love him, let me encourage you to go after it. Just fervently grab a hold of that thing that God has given you and you go. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be namby-pamby. Do you know what namby-pamby means? Don't be mediocre. Our God is worthy of all of our fervent efforts. And it's kind of a thing with some generations that, well, you know, don't get too excited about anything. We'll just kind of, you know, not make waves. Get out there and make some waves. When God gives you something to do, go after it. The last thing Moses tells the Israelites to do as they head into that promised land is to keep his commandments. Keep the commandments and the statutes. This is so simple. How could I break it down any farther? But let me start by emphasizing this. He says, keep these commandments for your own good. Do you think about that? A lot of times when we're growing up, authorities over us give us rules. A lot of times, right? You like those rules, don't you? Isn't it great? You can't do this. You can't go there. You have to do this. You have to do that. And sometimes we get the idea that they're just there for their own sake, but they're not. They're there for our own good. And as you grow up, you begin to realize, there was a reason mommy told me not to play in the street, even if it's a really nice street. Well, can I tell you that the same is true of the other rules that your parents gave you? There's reasons for those. Most importantly, there's reasons for the laws God gives you in his word. And God says, if you obey them, it's for your own good. Now, I still like to think of myself as very young. But I'm getting old enough that I've seen a number of people in our church whose lives have turned into what we sometimes call a train wreck. Everything has gone wrong. It's to the point where I really don't even know what kind of advice or counsel to give to them because there is so much wrong with their life. And do you know why? They didn't obey his commandments. It's not because of something external that happened to them. It's because of something internal that they chose. We all face adversity. You can face trials. You can even make mistakes and recover. But if you blatantly and continually refuse to obey God's words, your life will be one of those train wrecks. And your faculty don't want that for you. They have poured their life and their love into you. I know they care deeply for you. So obey God's commands. They're for your good. Do the basics faithfully. Just the right thing, do it. The wrong thing, don't do it. If you want to be able to 20 years from now, look back on your life without regret. Do the things you're supposed to do. Don't do anything that you have to hide. If you have to look both ways before you do it, you probably shouldn't do it. If you have to close the computer when someone walks in the room, you probably shouldn't have been on that site. If you have to make sure that it's earbuds and not speakers, you probably shouldn't be listening to it. Don't do things that you have to be secretive about. Be faithful to go to church, to guard your eyes, to work hard and be kind. Because your life's going to go by fast. And if you want to live with no regret, if you want to live well, it's very simple. It's not complicated. It's hard, but it's simple. Fear God. Walk in His ways. Love Him and serve Him with all your heart. Keep His commandments, and it will go very well with you. Graduates, parents, guests, God bless you. May we heed the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Acton. Will the graduates please rise and make your way over to the...
Cheryl Hannah George. Alexa Gomez Zelaya. Rory Mackenzie Grote. Lydia Brianne Gustafson. Jason Timothy Key. Jessica Nicole Manuel. Morgan Elizabeth McWilliams. Dina Ann Stoides. Karen Ann White.
Will the graduates please rise and face the audience? Ladies and gentlemen, the class of 2019. Sure, you'll want to greet them in the lobby. We'll be led in prayer by Pastor.
Father, tonight I thank you and rejoice that these young people have worked so hard. Their parents have been so faithful. And now, Lord, I pray as we give them to you, Father, without the training wheels of parents and home and school, I pray that you would help them to walk right and do what's right, to heed Dr. Atkins' words from your word. Lord, bless them richly. I pray that you'd help them look back and say, I was able to live a life well. And look forward to when they meet you and say, Lord, I did my best. I honored you. Lord, let all that start tonight. Help them to use what they've gained for your glory. Now bless this evening and all the parents and the family that have come. In your name we pray. Amen.